Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum. Celebrate the opening of I Saw It, Francisco de Goya Printmaker, with an evening of live music, art making, live model drawing, tours, and more. Saturday, April 20th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Info at nortonsimon.org.
What happened the night Chicano student activist Oscar Gomez died?
There needs to be some rest. There needs to be some closure.
We follow the leads on Imperfect Paradise, The Forgotten Revolutionary, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us today. I hope your day is getting off to a strong start. Later this hour on Air Talk, we'll be taking a look at long-term marriages that break up. I want to hear from you if you were in a long-term marriage that came to an end, about that process, and not just what it was like for you, but for your adult kids. And if you are an adult kid of a long-term couple that divorced, that was my circumstance. My parents divorced just as I was graduating college. I would be very interested in hearing from you about your experience and what that was like, this in light of Bill and Melinda Gates' 27-year marriage coming to an end. They have three adult kids, ages 18 to 25, and so I'm sure a lot of their friends and family members thinking about the adult kids as well as about the Gateses themselves divorcing after all these years. That's coming up later this hour, but we begin with the very latest on COVID-19. Joining us is Dr. Annabelle de St. Maurice, Assistant Professor of Pediatrics and Co-Chief of Infection Prevention at UCLA Mattel Children's Hospital. Dr. de St. Maurice, thank you for joining us again on Air Talk.
Thank you so much for having me.
So today, Los Angeles County, alone among Southern California counties, moves into the least restrictive tier of restrictions, if that's not redundant, the yellow tier. First of all, your thoughts about this and the increasing capacities in most public areas.
I think this is really great news. It shows that we've been able to bring the positivity rates down to less than 1%. Currently, we have fewer than 1.6 new cases for every 100,000 people in Los Angeles County. So this is really great news that we've been able to make this progress. I think as far as increasing capacity, if we do it thoughtfully and if individuals continue to follow public health guidance for masking when they're in crowds, I think that this can be done safely, particularly now that vaccines are increasing.
I'd love to hear from listeners. If there's something that is more accessible now for you under the yellow tier, I'd love to hear from you what you're planning to do that's now allowed, that wasn't before, that you've been looking forward to as capacity increases. We're at 866-893-KPECC. The Air Talk page, kpecc.org, tweet at Air Talk or post on our Facebook page. Amusement parks, fairs, theme parks can increase their capacity up now to 35%, and out-of-state visitors are now permitted at California venues like that if the out-of-state visitors have been fully vaccinated. Full vaccination is not required for locals, but for people from out-of-state. For bars that do not provide meals, they can now operate indoors at 25% capacity or 100 people, whichever is fewer. Masking is always required except when you are actually in the act of eating or drinking, and you can only eat or drink while seated. So you can't be, you know, walking around drinking in a bar environment. Tables also have to be at least 6 feet apart, and there is no counter seating or service. So you can't sit at the bar and have your drink. There's some other restrictions as well. For restaurants, they can increase capacity for indoor dining to 50%. Still has to be 6 foot distancing between tables, which may make it difficult for many restaurants to be able to comply with up to 50%. A maximum of 6 people from one household per table. If everyone is vaccinated, 6 people can sit together from up to 6 different households. But, you know, the challenge is, are restaurants realistically going to be monitoring that, Dr. de St. Maurice?
I think it's going to be a challenge. I think that most of us probably do not walk around with our vaccine card in our back pocket. So it is going to be a challenge for restaurants to ask individuals if there are six people sitting at a table, you know, are you from the same household? Are you fully vaccinated? But I think this does provide guidance as people are going out about what public health considers safe and what is high or low risk.
Some people I know have taken a photo of their vaccination card. I did that, so it's on my phone if anyone were to ask. I'm just trying to imagine a restaurant actually asking me to show that. I'd love to hear from restaurateurs or restaurant managers. Is this something you're contemplating with increased capacity at your restaurant? 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Movie theaters can operate at 50% capacity in LA County now. Reserved seating only, where each group is seated with at least 6 feet of distance between any other groups. Capacity limited to ensure there is at least 6 feet of distance between the groups. Seating sections can be established for fully vaccinated theatergoers without the 6 foot distancing requirements, provided there's 3 feet of distance between these sections and other seats in the theater. This all makes sense, Dr. DeSaint-Maurice. I'm not laughing that it's not a rational approach. There's justification. I'm just trying to picture the venues figuring this all out with the almost infinite permutations of groups of customers.
Right. I think it will be challenging. And as you know, there's so many permutations. And if you think about vaccinated versus unvaccinated and indoor versus outdoor, it becomes challenging for people to really implement it. But again, it makes sense, and it's all intended to really allow us to start going back to normal, but without increasing the risk. And these guidelines are not easy to create because they require an understanding of the science, but also trying to make it as practical and able to be implemented as possible. But I do realize it gets confusing and hard to implement at times.
Grocery and retail stores now can allow up to 75% of their posted capacity. There is still a 6 foot distancing requirement between customers. I'm not seeing on this masking required, but I think that goes without saying that masks are required indoors at shops and at grocery stores. Hair salons, barbershops, personal care services can now operate at 75%. Masks required except for services where customers need to have their masks removed. I guess if you're having a beard trimmed or something like that. For services where customers do have to remove face coverings, staff has to wear a fitted N95 mask or a face covering with a face shield in addition. Museums, zoos, aquariums, 75% capacity with the safety modifications remaining in place. And for sports venues, live performance, here's where it gets really dicey because you can do 25% of capacity for indoor venues, but if everybody is vaccinated, you can go up to 50%. But Dr. DeSaint-Maurice, you've still got this 6 foot distancing thing, which I understand for Dodger Stadium, for example, they're not looking, at least immediately, to sell more tickets to games because even though they're not close to that higher capacity allowance, they can't create the distance necessary to make that work. So that's going to keep our sporting events still with small crowds.
Right. I think they do have a section for fully vaccinated individuals.
Yes.
If you are fully vaccinated and have an entire section, then that does reduce the physical distancing requirement for these outdoor events.
And I know the Dodgers did that, I think, for a Padre game weekend before last, and they're looking at expanding the size of those full vaccination segments where you still have to be masked during the game, but you don't have to observe the distancing as occurs in the rest of the park. We're at 866-893-KPECC. It's your chance to weigh in on the less restrictive yellow tier. It would appear likely that other Southern California counties are poised to enter that tier in the coming few weeks. 866-893-KPECC, the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. You can tweet at AirTalk or post on the AirTalk Facebook page. Let's see. Ralph wondering what safeguards are or will be in place to ensure vaccination compliance by servers and employees, both in front and the back of the house. I think that this is a real, real challenge because businesses at this point, without full FDA approval for the vaccines, understandably, have concerns about mandating this for employees. Dr. DeSaint Maurice, your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think this is a challenge, just as you pointed out, to require mandate vaccines since they are under emergency use authorization. I think employers can certainly try to provide incentives for their employees to get vaccinated, things like time off in order to get the vaccine, or allowing some flexibility to the schedule so that if they do have side effects, like fever or muscle aches after they get vaccinated, that they can take the day off. But I agree, it does become challenging to mandate it. The biggest risk, though, is from customers to the server in most settings, and for the servers and other employees to themselves, since most of the time when the servers are coming to wait on a table, they are required to wear a face shield and a mask or face covering. So I think they're probably, at greatest risk when they're interacting with each other and when they're interacting with a customer, but are less likely to kind of transmit to the person who's sitting at the table.
I'd asked AirTalk listeners, with the relaxed COVID restrictions for LA County, what you're most looking forward to doing under those new protocols. Steve tweets, first outdoor concert in over a year, Glass Animals at Hollywood Forever in September, sold out in 3 minutes. Demand for live music seems stronger than ever. Will large indoor concerts come back before 2022? Steve, that's a great question. Dr. DeSaint Maurice, do you think that large indoor concerts have a chance this year?
I think they potentially do, depending on vaccine status. I could see them requiring vaccination to attend an indoor concert or documentation of a negative test. But I think there's a potential. I don't know what, large is, right? Does that mean, 50 to 100 people or more than that? But I think there's a potential for it over the summer if we continue to see decreases in rates and increases in vaccines.
866-893-KPECC. JP writes on the page, Larry, you may not be laughing at the new applicable regs, but anti-maskers are. The unwieldy nature of regs feeds and fosters cynicism, and we have a pandemic of that, too. Let's see. We have Joaquin wants to weigh in on the issue of the Biden administration now pushing to remove the patent protections on the vaccines that have been developed by pharmaceutical companies. Joaquin writes, we've spent several trillion dollars on stimulus, and we're still planning to do more. Meanwhile, these drug companies created miracle vaccines within days of sequencing the virus, but we're going to take away their patent protection instead of paying them $20 billion or so. So, penny wise and pound foolish. Give the drug companies their patent protection, record profits. They've earned it. And it's only a rounding error in the next stimulus proposal. That's Joaquin writing on the AirTalk page. Dr. Annabelle DeSaint Maurice, UCLA Mattel Children's Hospital. Your thoughts on the patent protection issue. This, of course, is aimed at getting more vaccine into more developing countries.
Yeah, I think it's a complicated issue, as the listener points out. I do think we have to ensure vaccine equity to get out of this global pandemic. We know that certain countries are not getting as much vaccine as others. We've seen what's happened in India, and I think this is really, really problematic, both from a U.S. perspective, because if we have travelers coming from these countries that are unvaccinated, that's a problem. But also just globally and morally speaking, we need to make sure that we can help these other countries. I'm not sure that this patent removal will solve that problem. We still have manufacturing and supply chain issues. But I do think it's potentially a step in the right direction, although, as the listener points out, it does have some negative consequences, particularly for these companies.
Linda in Huntington Beach says, I see signs on quite a few elevators saying only one person allowed at a time for COVID-19 prevention. I'm wondering, how long should we wait to enter an elevator after a person has been in it? So funny you mentioned elevators, Linda. Yesterday afternoon, I went to a dermatology appointment. And so I was waiting to get on the elevator, and there were three other people. The elevator door opens, and it has the little circles on the floor to show where you're supposed to stand in the elevator, and it showed three people spread out. So I motion, for the person next to me, go ahead, be the third person, I'll wait. And then they look at me and gesture that people come on in. So, okay. So I got in the elevator. There were four of us. And I said, by the way, I'm fully vaccinated. And they all said, well, I am too. Yeah, it's funny, but it's like negotiating this whole process of what you're going to do in a public space like that. And Dr. D. St. Maurice, I was just wondering, at the hospital, is this something that you see people negotiating the elevators?
Yeah, we typically have those same circles in our hospital and have about four people in the elevator in the four corners. But to be honest, the risk of transmission in a brief elevator ride is pretty low. I mean, everyone's wearing a mask because you're indoors, and the interaction between others is really minimal. You're not in there for very long, hopefully, unless the elevator gets stuck, but that's a different problem. So I think it's really low risk.
So Linda, Huntington Beach, don't worry. You can ride the elevator. Just get in after the other person gets out. You'll be wearing your mask anyway. We'll continue with UCLA Mattel Children's Hospital Assistant Professor of Pediatrics, Annabelle D. St. Maurice. We'll hear what Dr. D. St. Maurice has to say about Pfizer apparently looking in the fall for the full approval of its mRNA vaccine. And also about a conditional approval, emergency authorization, for use of its vaccine in kids 2 to 11 years old. We'll talk about that when we come back in just 1 minute. Coming up on Air Talk, in light of the divorce announced by Bill and Melinda Gates after 27 years of marriage, we'll talk with listeners who had long-term, two-decade-plus marriages, what that was like, and the reaction of family, friends, and adult children who go through what is a very stressful and often traumatic experience. We think of, what the price is on kids with a divorce of their parents, but even with adults. I have to speak for myself, as my parents split just after I graduated from college, and it's tough even for an adult kid when you see your parents going through that. I'd be interested to hear from listeners what that was like for you on either side of that very difficult experience. Right now, we're talking with Dr. Annabelle D. St. Maurice, UCLA Mattel Children's Hospital, where Dr. D. St. Maurice is Assistant Professor of Pediatrics and Co-Chief of Infection Prevention for Mattel Children's Hospital. We're at 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722. The Air Talk page, kpcc.org. And again, I'd really like to hear from you. With these relaxed yellow tier restrictions in L.A. County, what are you hoping to do that before wasn't accessible to you, with 50% at the gym, for example, capacity, even though you still have to be masked indoor at the gym? Are you looking to go back now? Is that going to make it more feasible for you to do your workout at the gym? 866-893-KPECC. Beatrice in the Mount Washington District said, I heard this morning that people were getting busted for fake vaccination cards. Do we know if that has any effect on people with real vaccination cards with reopened businesses? This has always been a concern, because obviously it wouldn't take much to come up with your own forged vaccination record card, unfortunately. Dr. D. St. Maurice, any thoughts on how to deal with that?
I think it is a challenge. I don't have any, great ideas on how we're going to enforce that, particularly as you mentioned, you know, a lot of people do take a picture of their vaccine card and may not actually have the card on hand. So I think it is going to be a challenge, and I think there may be some creative ways that the U.S. government and health local health departments kind of come up with a way to make sure that we have validated vaccine cards. But for the time being, I think it's just going to have to be a challenge.
Let's talk about Pfizer, where the New York Times is reporting that the FDA is expected to be petitioned by Pfizer to give full approval for its vaccine. Also, Pfizer looking to have the vaccine administered under emergency use for kids 2 to 11 years old. From what you've been able to follow, Dr. De St. Maurice, do you think that's a realistic timeline? And if so, what effect might that have on schools fully reopening campuses?
Yeah, I think, we still haven't had the full the emergency use authorization for children 12 to 17 years of, 12 to 16 years of age for the Pfizer yet. We're still awaiting that. We expect to have that sometime soon next week. But I think it may be a realistic goal for Pfizer to have all of that by the fall. And I think it would lead to more confidence as family members are sending their children back to school, and I think it would be great to kind of help protect children and protect their family members from getting COVID from the kids.
Chris in Palm Springs says, I think people who are fully vaccinated should be allowed to go maskless inside public spaces since they're less likely to transmit the virus. It would also be an incentive for everyone to get vaccinated. Chris, it would be a huge incentive, but I think the challenge is what we're talking about earlier, to really verify that someone was fully vaccinated, taking someone's word for that. Is, I think, a difficult thing because a certain percentage of the public won't be truthful about that. I mean, I guess if you were able to have some sort of an antibody test or something as the terms of entry, that might work, Dr. De St. Maurice, but that's not practical.
Right, it's not practical. And even though the vaccine is very effective, we know that indoors, the risk of transmission is higher. So I think for the time being, as we're still seeing cases in LA, it's still not zero, and we're seeing a lot of cases abroad. It still makes sense to require masks indoors, but we're trying to make things, a little bit easier for those who are vaccinated, knowing that the risks of transmission among that population is a lot lower.
866-893-KPECC. Moderna announcing that its COVID-19 vaccine is 96% effective in teenagers 12 to 17 years old. This, the company's self-reporting of its phase 2 clinical trials. And that, of course, is going to have to be, peer reviewed. Any sense, doctor, about how long before we might see Moderna's vaccine in that younger teen group?
I'm hoping it'll also be sometime this summer. That would also be great because then we have two vaccines that can be given to adolescents. But we still, as you mentioned, need to see the peer-reviewed data, and they need to submit it to the FDA, which they still haven't done. But the reassuring thing is they didn't see any serious side effects, and it sounds as though they're going to continue to collect data before submitting their emergency use amendment.
Also, Moderna announcing that their vaccine is showing effectiveness against the variants that we have been most concerned about, one of them the UK, which has become so present here in the United States. Given what they're reporting, do you think that we are going to need a booster later in the year, or do you think we may well get enough coverage of these strains with the current vaccines?
I think for the time being, most infectious disease specialists kind of think that the booster is something we should work on developing, but probably won't necessarily need this fall. But I think it's still good to have this additional tool just in case we do see a resurgence. it did demonstrate safety and efficacy. So I think that's really great news, and it's a good thing to have on hand. And in some areas where they're still seeing a lot of transmission, it may be a really important tool to help stop the spread of some of these variants.
Roberta in Redondo Beach says, we've been invited to an outdoor wedding of over 100 people where everyone has to be fully vaccinated to attend. I'm a cancer patient. It's suggested in the invitation that people won't wear masks, but should I, as a cancer patient, wear a mask?
That's a great question. I think a lot of it depends on, you know, what type of chemotherapy you're having and how recent your cancer diagnosis was. So I would definitely talk with your physician before deciding whether or not to attend the event. But personally, if I were, somebody who maybe might have reduced response to the vaccine, if I had a challenge with my immune system, I would continue to wear a mask in those types of settings, realizing that the risk of transmission probably is low since it's outdoors and everyone's fully vaccinated.
We have a question from, I just lost her question. Alice in Long Beach, with Dodger Stadium still requiring you to wear a mask even if you're vaccinated, why is that? It would seem like that's a deterrent to get vaccinated if you're still going to have to wear a mask in an outdoor space like that.
I think they're doing it because, you know, as the prior person who called in had mentioned, you know, some people who get the vaccine may not respond as well as others to the vaccine. So if you're in close, crowded areas, it still makes sense to wear a mask just to make sure that those who may not have had as good of a response are still protected. As we see the rates go down a lot more in LA, then maybe some of those regulations can change.
Do we know with the kids who were part of the clinical trial, the under 12s who were being tested, are there side effects, do we know yet, similar to what adults have gone through? Are we seeing any differences in type of side effect or intensity of effect?
So far, it seems like the safety profiles are very similar, which is really reassuring.
All right. April in South Los Angeles says, so many businesses have closed. COVID has changed the landscape of this city so much. I've been looking forward to going back to ArcLight. Seemed accessible enough. Now I'll need to dream a new post-COVID dream. That's April in South Los Angeles. You can share your comments on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org, throughout the day as the conversation continues. Dr. Annabelle D. St. Maurice, UCLA Mattel Children's Hospital, professor at UCLA Mattel, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it, and we'll look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.